Hello and welcome to another T3 podcast, your weekly dollop of me, Duncan, whoever else we can persuade to sit in a studio for 20 minutes with us. Coming up this week, move over, Wii. PlayStation Move has been unveiled. See what I did there?
That's
Samsung launches its first 3D telly as Sky gives assurances over its 3D TV service. There's exciting news in the world of PVRs. No, really?
Sorry.
There is. And could we soon be hearing more of this?
My best piece of advice, really, is cheat whenever you can.
Okay, some wise words from one of the bastions of British industry there.
All that and more. So let me introduce my co-host. No, Chris, he's away. So let me welcome to the hot seat, Hannah Barkley and Mr. T3 himself, Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hannah, first time in the hot seat.
Yeah, it's my first time.
I think you better introduce yourself, really.
Yeah, well, I look after the reviews on T3 and I also look after the home section. So kettles, toasters, anything like that.
That sounds thrilling.
It is actually quite exciting.
So you get good.
You get all the exciting stuff.
Coffee makers, come on.
Oh, come on, everyone loves a coffee maker.
Holographic toasting forks.
Not you, but I have spoken to another T3 journalist, tech journalist, just after he'd done a huge roundup of coffee makers.
Yeah.
And my God.
Was he hyper? You had to peel him off the walls.
He could talk about a Crema for about half an hour, you know?
What is there to say?
People get obsessed.
That's the kind of scum on top of coffee, isn't it? Crema. Well, not scum. The delicious white stuff.
The delicious scum on top of coffee.
It's like, what's a flat white?
Hannah, over to you.
I honestly don't know. I always have black coffee.
Because that's the big thing in coffee, apparently, in coffee circles.
Yeah, but it's promoted by Peter Andre. And to me, that's just like, I don't really want him to promote my coffee.
No.
Where's the link?
I
don't get that.
I'm more of an Americano man myself, with milk. Very nice.
Double espresso for me every time.
Anyway, Duncan.
This is what people tune in for, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Like, banter, man.
Our musings about coffee. Rant time.
Yeah.
What has been this is quite appropriate, actually. Mouldy bread in your toaster this week.
The mouldy bread in my designer high-tech toaster.
Reviewed by Hannah.
impeccably reviewed by
Lots
Hannah.
Lots of bread eating, yeah.
Is, no, nothing bad happened to me this week. I'm very proud of myself this week. Very proud, even more pleased with myself than usual, if that's possible. Because it's the 10th anniversary of the tech crunch, the dot-com bubble bursting. Yes.
When QXL exploded.
Yeah, the NASDAQ lost
all the others.
All of its points, whatever that may mean. And so I was on CNBC, which I may have mentioned before, the excellent news channel where anyone who owns a suit can turn up and talk bollocks to an audience of...
Do you own a suit?
Okay, of course I do, yeah. For going on CNBC.
Oh, right, of course, yeah.
But to an audience of seven bored British business travellers in hotels, because you can always get it in hotels. And to liven it up, Rob, who's the features editor at T3, challenged me to say sexy elephant.
Oh, no.
On live television on CNBC, right. And I pulled it off.
How did you,
I pulled off
you
a sexy
pulled,
elephant.
You pulled off a sexy elephant. How did you pull off the sexy elephant?
Well,
on CNBC?
I said, they were saying, blah, it's like as ever on CNBC, you go on and they just go, blah, 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 infrastructure.
Charlie Brown.
Blah, 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 yeah. And actually, I feel more like it's like the bit in The Simpsons where people talk to the dog.
Ah, yes.
Like the dog knows what the hell they're talking about. I'm like the dog. I'm just sitting there like. So I said, well, the thing about tech companies is that they always innovate. You know, even during the recession, they basically innovated their way out of the recession. You know, they're kind of leading the charge out of the credit crunch tech companies. And I said, even, you know, they might have laid some people off. They didn't stop innovating. And now they're betting the farm even on 3D TV. Mm-hmm. Because they've got all the big manufacturers.
I'm still not seeing how this is leading
it's coming,
to the
it's coming. All the big manufacturers have got, fantastic televisions. And but they don't know if people are going to buy them, but they're betting that people will. And, of course, the elephant in the room is that the elephant in the front room is, will people want these tellies? But it is quite a sexy elephant.
Hey! Oh,
that's well done.
That's seamlessly done.
Everybody in the studio looks at me like,
what?
Never ever have this person anywhere near.
Is that going to be your suit's last outing now, maybe? Yeah.
I think they get through people so quickly though, they must just forget. Just like I could have come back in 10 minutes later in a slightly different suit and pretended I knew about gold or something. You know?
Excellent. Well, there you are. If you're ever watching CNBC and someone talks about sexy elephants, fair chance, it's Duncan. Before we go to the top story, rumours abound of a return of this.
Games Master, I've had Donkey Kong Country for 4 hours and I've got to the orangutan level. Can you tell me what a bonus is?
I don't think it should be. So let's look back.
That makes no sense. I don't think it should be. What? She didn't ask her. What?
Was it a girl? I thought it was a boy.
They got the clips out of sequence.
No, there, that was a genuine clip from Games Master, as you might have gathered. That was Patrick Moore.
Yeah, I used to watch Games Master a bit, and do you know what? I sometimes got the impression that Patrick Moore, frankly, didn't know that much about computer games or much care.
Well, I was, I was looking at it, and you know on Car Park Catchphrase on you know Chris Moyles and yes. Does this make
no
okay well the clips they just use clips don't they and they kind yes. of play him as if he's there and all this kind of thing. I think that's what they did with Patrick Moore. They just got him, they did his voice every week, but the video of him, it's just this kind of
holographic head.
It's a big holographic head moving, and so they didn't film him every week. They just put a microphone in front of him.
They established what the questions were beforehand, and then
it wasn't live. Answers.
I don't wonder what the hell went wrong there.
It was it was ahead of its time, that show.
In some respects.
Well, they are bringing it. Well, it ran for 6 years from 1992 to 1998.
Quite long, actually. I don't realize
it was
as long as that.
It spawned. The magazine, which is published by Future, we should probably say, mm-hmm. which publishes T3. It spawned the magazine Games Master, which is still going.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, Games Master magazine are thinking, hey, maybe we should relaunch the TV show.
So what? So that would be a TV show made by us, by Future?
It would, yeah.
Well, it'll be a triumph then. I predict massive success. Multi-billion viewing figures.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, are there any other game shows? I mean, I can't.
There's several sort of cable ones.
Yeah,
I think ITV has a late night one. Or am I very behind the times?
It's a different type of game.
I mean, there is. I mean, on TV, there's The Gadget Show, which...
Well, that's quite dry, but that's not a gaming thing.
Yeah,
though,
it's not really for different audiences.
Yeah. And that's about it, mainstream-wise. This was the first thing on UK TV to focus purely on games.
Yeah. It didn't try and be particularly worthy.
No.
It had what I believe is known as near-the-knuckle humour.
Yeah.
A bit like this podcast.
I will come to that.
Never averse to it.
Now, I was watching a few old episodes. It is actually quite watchable. I was discussing this earlier. I think the Top Gear crew grew up watching Games Master because there are a lot of elements of Top Gear from Games Master. The audience is all surrounding the presenters in a kind of industrial unit sort of thing. I think Patrick Moore, there are parallels
between
him and the Stig.
Fair play.
And the challenges that are in there, very similar to Top Gear. Yeah. I think they took a lot from Games Master.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. I suppose we are talking about the Dominic Diamond years here, aren't we?
Dominic Diamond, was it
someone else?
Yeah,
Dexter Fletcher.
Yeah, that's the bit that nobody talks
about. From Press Gang.
Yes, and what else? Lockstock, he was in or something?
Yeah, he's done a few other things, but frankly... Press Gang.
Press Gang, yeah.
it will never leave him. But anyway, Dominic Diamond, as you mentioned, just listen out for his response to a 10-year-old boy at the end of this clip. And a bonus point if you can get the game. I think it's actually fairly easy, but just have a listen.
And at the end, I actually could have won because I had a red tortoiseshell, which is a bit like a homing missile. But unfortunately, Luigi was invincible. So I could have just got him at the end, but I shot it too early.
That's the story of my life there, Peter.
Did he just make a premature ejaculation joke to a 10-year-old?
He did, yes. Oh, I think we need telly like that back on, really, don't we?
Get that man back on air.
I think that's just your dirty mind. He just spent maybe sometimes acts before it is wise to do so.
Mm. Maybe. Did we get the game?
Mario Kart.
Of course, yes. Yeah.
Presumably the first one, if it was...
It was, yeah.
All those years ago.
Classic. Absolutely fabulous stuff. Anyway, Games Master, possibly... Coming back to our screens. People are getting excited about that. We've got some tweets on it. Moving swiftly on, though.
Who would host it?
Perhaps us.
Yeah. Let's get in there. How about, because Dominic Diamond is now dead of old age. Or, no, even worse, writes a column for the Daily Star.
Never mind. Well, we're not having Dexter. Moving swiftly on, anyway, to our top story. And it is the unveiling of the PlayStation Move, Sony's answer to the Wii and Microsoft's Project Natal. First up, the name, which is new. Are we happy with this? Move?
Well,
I don't know. It's it's not very exciting, is it? They could have come up with something a bit more adventurous.
The joke with it is, mm-hmm. you just know that they spent probably millions of dollars, thousands of man hours, memos. If you lined up all the memos about this and laid them end to end, they'd sort of circumnavigate the globe 9 times. And they came up with move.
Yeah. Which,
at least Natal. Somebody looked this up in the dictionary the other day. Natal means the sort of cleft of your buttocks. Or it's a word relating to the cleft of your buttocks.
Okay.
And it also means, it's also a place in Africa, of course.
Yes, yeah.
And it also relates to birth, which I suppose is what Microsoft was actually going for.
Okay, rather
But move, just the very...
That's just,
Well, who knows? Who knows?
Yes, yes.
Move, at least, very directly relates to moving.
Yeah.
Sony says it's the most precise and ultra-sensory device of its kind. Given that of its kind really is only the Wii Plus.
Yeah, Wii Plus is all right. I mean, the demo with the boxing game, have you seen that? The demo.
No, I saw that.
That's Motion Fighters, which is a working title.
That sounds like a diarrhea remedy.
It's a working title. Not necessarily.
Motion Fighters.
Not necessarily what the game is going to be. It's a street fighting game, though.
I thought that looked really good.
It did look pretty good.
It seemed to be like slightly more, I don't know, instead of just sort of...
Yeah, no, sorry. I was before you said what it was called, and I cracked up. Because he was doing some roundhouse punches and uppercuts.
It's not just waving your hands about like the Wii.
Exactly, Wii boxing, let's face it, is it's like Street Fighter used to be with the gamepad. We just hit every button that's...
Wii boxing is like two effeminate men in a car park, isn't it? It's literally like you're kind of flapping your arms.
Whereas this, it was responding to his body movements.
It looked pretty good.
It looked too hard though, because the guy he was fighting just had his guard up all the time. It's like
maybe it was on easy.
You'd be there for 3 weeks waiting for him to.
Well, that was the point, because you could. It's a street fighting game. You could. He goes on and midway through. He goes, no, let's fight dirty. And he starts...
Kicks him in the nuts.
Basically, yes. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So, but you see, the thing that's lacking with this is, with Natal, you could, I don't know, do a little knee in the bollocks, for instance, and it would pick that up.
It's more sophisticated. That's the thing about Natal.
But with Move, it is, you know, it's all hands based only. On those hand controllers.
Yeah, same as Wii. Yeah. Is it me, or do the hand controllers look a bit like something that perhaps a lady might use to relax herself with of an evening? If her husband wasn't around.
The glowing orb on the... I quite like the look of them, but yeah, I can see your point there.
Oh, it's just...
It's like something from Logan's Run or something. It's like... I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does... I mean, the problem with Natal is, it seems to me, is because there's no control of it, there's no focus to it, and I think people might feel more silly just literally flapping their arms.
Yeah, we've said
around.
This before, that like, more hardcore gamers might prefer...
But then I guess people
the feel of a remote. It's going to be reasonably cheap, under $100 with the camera, which is what it uses to sense the movement, the controller, and the game, which isn't
What's
too
game?
It's not bad.
That boxing
really,
game.
Is it?
Well, who knows?
It's probably going to be that. Is it that sports
movement
one?
Blocking,
it could well be Sports Champions, which is basically a complete rip-off of Wii Sports.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So very, very similar. Just to throw a spanner into the works of all this, on a slight aside, OnLive. Announced it's launching on-demand online gaming this June. It's coming to the US first, Europe later. But this basically does away with the hardware.
Yeah, we've talked about this before as well.
Yeah.
I still don't see how it can possibly work.
I think some of the developers on board, I think EA's on board,
aren't
they?
Yeah, there's big-name developers.
But are they actually going to be sort of... Are we going to see sort of just like Call of Duty or things like that? Or is it not... Is it going to be new
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, you know, Call of Duty's on all formats.
Yeah,
there's no reason...
Yeah, for a different platform.
Yeah, exactly. But the whole point of this is you don't have to keep upgrading the hardware. It's upgraded in the cloud, you know. Although... Interesting that, you know, Sony's going along the lines of these controllers. It would be difficult to see how you could use technology like that through a, you know, some sort of cloud gaming. You would need a bit of hardware, wouldn't you, under your telly?
Maybe I'm behind on broadband technology. Don't see how it can possibly work. See how there can not be a latency period, a gap between what you're seeing and what's actually happening.
If you've got fast enough broadband, I mean, you know.
But who does?
Well, I've got...
And even with the very fastest broadband, it goes into like a buffer. There's always a period of latency.
No,
so you're pressing a button, you're getting a response. It might only be half a second later, but that's a lifetime in gaming terms, man.
But it's going to be obviously standard def, isn't it, as well? And that's part of the reason I like gaming. I think HD on a big TV looks fantastic.
I mean,
you're not going to get that experience.
Well, it could be HD, but that again, I mean, that
you tried streaming HD, from the iPlayer.
If you've got cable broadband.
If.
Like everybody does.
Yeah. I do.
You have, I don't. So.
Anyway, speaking of which...
But I don't know. Even with that, you still get latency. Although the speed is very, very fast and it might be going in real time, it'll always be that, not necessarily half a second, but that lag behind you pressing the buttons. Seems to me.
On cable broadband, some good news for people living out in the sticks. They're looking at stringing them over telegraph poles, which makes a lot of sense.
Well, people who live in the sticks.
Yeah.
A bit harsh.
the fibre optic, Duncan.
How about just encouraging them to move to the cities where normal people live? Don't have to kill them all.
Don't tweet us. Just accept that you will not change him. Anyway, enough chit-chat, because here is the news. Virgin Media, good. Virgin Media's set-top user interface, bad. So all hail the arrival of Virgin's new TiVo-powered set-top boxes, due for launch later this year.
Yes, after disappearing from UK homes in 2003, the US PVR is making a comeback on Virgin Media's next-gen box. Expect favourite old features like personalised recommendations, sprinkled with newfangled on-demand telly via the Beeb's new Project Canvas.
Would you like a camera with your iPad? Well, tough! The new beta SDK for the Apple Slate has just been launched, quashing rumours it'll be getting an onboard cam.
It does bring in, though, a new selection of interaction methods. So welcome now the triple tap and long press. Apple's also apparently hard at work developing new gestures for the iPhone that'll use its camera to become even more intuitive.
Is it me, or do those gestures sound like events in the Special Olympics? After all the hype, Samsung's finally launched the world's first high-def 3D LED TV. It'll be in 800 stores across the UK for us to demo, but not to buy, from next month. Word from the Black Eyed Peas-fueled US launch is that the specs will come bundled free if you buy a telly and a 3D Blu-ray player at the same time.
Meanwhile, Sky's been clearing up the confusion over its 3D service. It will be compatible with all 3D TV from the likes of Sony, Samsung, Panasonic and LG, and it will work with both active and passive 3D specs. Still no firm word on a launch date though, so summer's still the best guess.
Yes, it is. We were. It's all getting a bit vague, that Sky stuff. But at least we know it will be working on just about any telly you buy, which is pretty good news. Good,
yeah. I don't know that summer is that good a guess from what. The conversation that we had with
them. I know. It is looking a bit sketchy. But that's their last sort of stated ETA. So we will see. Anyway, time for your tweets to T3DOTCOM. Duncan, what have you got?
Well, on the PlayStation Move, Bijesh Tank. I assume that's how you pronounce that.
That's a new one. Good.
Or it could be Bijestank. I don't know. Says, the ball thing looks odd, but cool gadget nonetheless.
Yeah.
And that sums it up much better than we did. We could have just read that out.
Why didn't we do that? Oh, damn it. Hannah.
Gamesmaster Oliver Bannister says, yes, about time there was a good games program. Get your golden joysticks ready.
Golden joysticks. Remember that? Those were the awards that they gave out for the winners.
Still do.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Is that are those two things?
Well, actually, yeah, I suppose it went on to the Golden Joystick Awards. Didn't it?
Yeah.
There we go.
And also, Lexnor says, class, I wasn't sure Patrick Moore was still alive.
I'm not sure Patrick Moore knows if he's still alive, but he is. He still does Sky at Night, doesn't he? They wheel him out. He honestly does.
He's older than the Sky at Night.
He is ancient, but yeah, he still does it. Our old friend, Chaos Gerbil.
says, Mr. Gerbil too.
Yeah. Or just call me Chaos, I think was our other joke on that. 3D TV, what about people who need to wear glasses to see? I can clear that up, actually, because I wear glasses, you wear glasses.
I wear glasses.
Two 3D films whilst wearing my own glasses now. You just put the glasses over the top, works fine.
Yep, to be honest, I'm very picky about these things. You know, sometimes you're in a pub and drunk people come over and they're like, hey, you're wearing glasses, mate, and they try and take your glasses off. I've physically assaulted people. the ones I saw up and it sat perfectly adequately over my glasses and
absolutely fine.
Did make me look like Ray Charles.
I saw Alice in Wonderland the other night. Don't bother.
Massive the film launch. Or 3D?
Rubbish. Really rubbish. The 3D is rubbish compared to Avatar. Really rubbish. The backdrops it all looked like it was on a theatre stage or something, because the way they did the 3D, they'd be like, there'd be the foreground 3D, then the midground people would be 3D
planes,
and then there'd just be this like painted canvas of a background as a block for the background. You know, whereas in Avatar, your eyes would be drawn to things in the background because the background would be in 3D.
Mm.
You know, it was incredible. Rubbish. Really,
doesn't
rubbish.
Really appeal, to be fair. I do like Tim Burton, but it's just Alice in Wonderland.
The White Queen.
When was his last decent film?
His pants. Frankly, you end up wanting the Queen of Hearts to win because she's much cooler. it's not good. And Wonderland, not that wondrous.
Really?
I have to say, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'd have thought a Tim Burton Wonderland would be pretty far out.
It was like they just sort of took Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, took all the chocolate out and put Alice there.
Alice in the factory. Yeah. But I got the same ring to it, really.
No,
is
not
it?
Really. Yeah, don't bother about it. I also have a message from our Bahamas correspondent, Andy. Have you had any tweets from people asking about what you were going to say about the dog on TV incident? I think the world deserves to know. You talked over this last week. I announced that my dog had been on TV. And I just carried right on over it. Yeah, she was on the One Show.
Doing what?
A special appearance?
Just a picture of her for a moment. But it was you had to answer a maths question and send in a picture of your answer. So we thought,
is that what you did?
We'll send it in with the dog. Like the dog.
Well, I did always wonder who those people who sell in pictures of their dogs.
Like the dog did it. And they showed it. So she's famous.
It's pretty impressive, but have you said sexy elephants
recently? I know the One Show isn't quite as big as CNBC.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, dear. Anyway, I imagine at this point we would be moving to what's next in the script, which is Hannah,
seamless.
Your gadget of the week. I got there in the end.
Okay. The gadget of the week this week is a new sat nav from Motorola. It's called the MotoNav TN760T.
A sat nav from Motorola.
I know. Who even knew?
Have they made sat navs before?
Yeah, for quite a few years apparently.
Really?
obviously, I think the new phones, the Droid has got MotoNav software on. So this is like hardware.
So how are Motorola sat-navs?
No, it's pretty good, actually. The screen's really big. It's like 5.1 inches.
I'm really impressed by that.
It's a very widescreen. That's proper widescreen.
Yeah, it's almost like that Philips sort of 21:9 kind of widescreen. That's really
cinema
wide.
Cinema quality.
It basically means if when you're in the car driving, you can have the maps and you can have other things on the side, like you can have a music player. So it doesn't really sort of eat into the map too much.
Nice. So I'm a bit dubious about sat navs that do other things. I like sat navs that do traffic and, you know, stuff like that. But when they
start playing
your music or taking pictures or anything like that.
I know what you mean. To be honest, this is slightly different. You can buy it as a standalone product, but you can also pay a bit more and you can have it installed into your car.
Oh, that's nice.
And then you can literally plug in your iPod and it comes through and you can control it with playlists and things like that on the screen. And it did seem to work quite well.
Yeah.
Also, because it's plugged into your car, you can access the microphone, so the voice commands are a lot clearer, and it's
when you say installed in the car, you have
to pay for installation, and it's sort of they sort of plug through the back, and don't ask me the details.
A bit like having a hands-free put in, or
basically,
like
yeah. But it's sort of like a midway between a sort of standalone sat nav and a sort of paying a lot of money to get one, especially just in your car.
And they're all front then.
Well, no, it comes with a stand, like a conventional stand. You can.
No, I mean, if you have it installed, has it got for security purposes, or is it very, very installed?
No, it's not. Sort of, literally sits on the dashboard on a stand.
It's like a standard sat nav, but it's plumbed in.
Basically, so you can literally pull it out, and there's no gaping. You know, you could use it in another car if you wanted to.
Yeah, right.
But it seemed to work quite well.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
It's quite a nice looking thing as sat navs go. I know it's not saying much, but it's
It looks nicer than.
And also, well, that makes it more impressive. The facts, because it was Google Maps navigation, wasn't it, in America, and then over here that doesn't work.
No.
So it was like, oh well, you get Motorola Droid Nav instead. And I think most people's reaction to that was, oh great. But as it turns out, they're actually experts in the field of sat nav.
Well,
I suddenly feel much better about
who
that.
Who knew?
It does actually look a bit like a droid, actually, doesn't it?
Yes,
slightly. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like a.
It's got that distinctive Motorola look.
And it's got traffic updates. This may be a bit of a technical question, which you may not know the answer to. Are the traffic updates... No, because it's my anal point on sat navs. Yes, thank you.
Something to do with the Natal?
Is it sort of TMC traffic updates, the radio ones, or has it got a little SIM card inside and downloads them?
I think it's the radio updates, but I will check on that one, yeah.
Yeah, I'm never impressed with them. They never seem to work that well.
No, whereas this is rubbish. That's because, like, wasn't RDS developed during like World War II to monitor tanks?
Yeah, it's TMC. It's similar to RDS, but yeah, it just doesn't work very well. But
No, they're a girl band.
The TomTom version uses a SIM card. It works brilliantly. Route 66 used to do it as well. I don't know if they still do. And it's just
The live.
It's just superior. But there we go. Anyway, thank you very much for that.
I'll slow that down now.
Yeah. Right, the new T3 is on the shelves, and inside is a lovely roundup of the latest set-top boxes / PVRs, which is nicely topical since we've been talking about Sky and with their set-top box and
TiVo.
Virgin Media, TiVo.
Yeah. TiVo's returning to the UK apparently, and not just with Virgin. They're actually going to launch their own, supposedly.
Oh, right. That's
is it TiVo Premiere or something?
They were here once, and then they had to leave in, 2003 or something. But
they're back.
They were brilliant.
Like a vengeful... Yeah.
Everyone loved TiVo. And it's,
manufacturer of PVRs.
No, I imagine so.
In one of those films where that happens. Yeah, no, apparently, as well as storing programmes and giving suggestions what you might like, it sort of scours the internet for old episodes of whatever it is you happen to like. Excellent. Seamless, apparently. I'm sorry.
Get HD ready is the feature. I do like the look of the new V Plus box, the Virgin box, because frankly, the one I have looks shocking.
It's exactly the same inside, though. But
really?
It just obviously looks nice.
Sky's
the remote control is the same.
Well,
as well,
beefed up. You see the new Sky box?
Is this
one terabyte?
Is this a picture of it here?
If you please.
Yes.
And for some reason, it's got an eSATA port on the back as well. And I like eSATA.
Yeah, okay.
Because nobody uses it, so I feel sorry for it.
So everyone's beefing up their boxes, so to speak. The good old Humax is there as well for free set users.
And, Hannah tells me, not shit anymore. Because I've had a Humax for ages, and the menu system and the rest of it on it. It works well, but UI on it is like... If I had any hair, I would tear it out over it. But apparently...
Yeah, on the Fox T2, it was absolutely fine. Really simple, easy to use. But bear in mind that it's only got one tuner, so I haven't used the recording function or anything like that. But it's really simple to use. No complaints.
Okay. So what is the best box of this fine
I don't think we
selection?
Should reveal that because it's not been online yet.
Okay, just tell me what the worst one
You're going to have to go out and buy it if you want to know.
What's the worst one?
Well, the worst one was the Humax HD Fox T2.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't for HD content, which looked pretty good.
Yeah.
It was just for the fact that it's £180 and you don't get you only get one tuner, so you can't record anything.
Yeah,
if you can pay a little bit more, you can get like I think 250 for the Fox set. Okay, it's a slightly different type, but it's still
because the T2 is the first free
UHD box.
That's a 320 gigabyte one.
No. So the problem is because it's the very first one. There's no PVR functionality on this one, so it really is one for early adopters.
Okay.
But FreeView HD is quite. I think it's going to be quite big this year because it's like FreeSat. It doesn't quite work because you need like a dual LNB or whatever
it's called.
Exactly,
and paying for the satellite installation, which a lot of people don't want to do. But I think Sony and LG.
High def straight through your normal aerial.
Absolutely.
And it's in loads of
LG,
new terminals
LG are promising to bring it here when we're in Vegas.
Yeah, loads of that. And
Sony as well.
We can get that in time for the World Cup. That'd be quite sweet, actually, because,
You
know, it's that thing, you know, your bedroom telly generally is not HD because you haven't got your Skybox or your Virgin box or whatever there, you know, so if you can get it through your aerial, perfect. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly. I think FreeSat's days might be a bit numbered, I think, to be honest.
And
needless to say, that's what I've got. So there we are.
Well, once you've got it installed, you may as well keep it. It's, you know,
true.
It does the job. Okay, so all right, so you can find out which is the best. I'm gonna look now.
I don't think it's exactly going to come as a shock to anybody what the winner is, but I'm not going to reveal it. I shouldn't have said that, should I? No, it's a massive shock. We've gone out on a limb and chosen something you'd never expect as the winner.
I never thought for a... Wow. Never imagined that you would have gone with that.
Nope. Us neither, and we wrote it.
Anyway, speaking of all this set-top boxery, you were at the... Hannah, you were at the Bravia launch.
Yes.
Not so much set-top boxes, but similar tech seeping into the tellies.
Sony had a launch this week, and we saw some of the new TVs, Blu-ray players, and home theatre. But what's interesting is the new Blu-ray players are going to have something called Bravia Internet Video, which basically uses Sony's cross-media interface, which is obviously very familiar from the PlayStation 3, really easy to use. But you can access things like iPlayer, fantastic, and also Love Film. So you can literally compile your wish lists online and send them through. And you can access, I think there's about 2,500 titles you can actually stream. But I think it's more the iPlayer that's going to be the one that.
There's a few other. I think Channel 5.
Yes, there are lots of on demand, lots of Neighbours and Home Away.
What's good news?
I know. I'm struggling
like
to think.
Isn't it CSI the one thing that Five shows that people?
There's
like?
There's lots of CSI. Yeah.
Yeah, like CSI Croydon, CSI.
So yeah, it's all plumbed in.
Yeah, I think it looks really good, and I think it's a lot of things. It's good to have a different way to get the iPlayer to
so that's TV. It, that's as well as being in the tellies, that's going to be in, or is it in the
Bravia Blu-ray Internet players? Video is in the TVs, right. And the Blu-ray players, but iPlayer is only confirmed for the Blu-ray players so
right.
far.
Right, so if you don't necessarily need a Bravia TV,
you can just buy the Blu-ray player. So yeah,
they're getting better because web TVs so far, to be honest, have been a bit disappointing, haven't they? I mean, like, because the concept is brilliant, but the what you can actually access via your web connection on most TVs hasn't been fantastic.
I don't mean to keep advertising Virgin Media, but theirs is very good. You know, in fact, it's got the catch up.
Yeah, in set-top boxes more so, but in TVs. Yeah. It tends to be like on my one,
widgets, get, things like that, like the weather and
yeah. On my one, you can get financial news in German. you can get YouTube, so I suppose okay, that's all right. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not really that great of a feature.
I liked the LG stuff, the Skype being built into the telly and things like that. That's quite nice.
Bit half-assed though, isn't it? I mean, really, it should have like a webcam built into the front as well.
Yeah, you had to buy the webcam, which, I know what you mean. It would be nice to have it all plugged in.
That's proper future stuff though, isn't it? Sat in your lounge, great big telly, talking to... It'd be like being on Star Trek.
This was how they promised the future would be, you know? Yeah.
Klingons appearing on your screen.
How long has it taken, eh? Phew.
I'm anyway. Hailing on all frequencies, Captain. Whatever that means.
Anyway, well, that's about it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. The new T3 is on the shelves, and we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.